Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
The Lord God, the one true God, is the judge of all the earth. He is the judge of all men. He is the judge of all nations. And this is the point that the psalmist makes in the last part of Psalm 9. As he writes about the nations that have forgotten about God, have forgotten that they are accountable to their Creator and their Sustainer. They have forgotten that He is the source of life. He's the source of their existence. He is the source of blessing and of their prosperity. And so the psalmist reminds us that the consequences of forgetting about God will be catastrophic for us. When we forget about our Creator, that we owe Him our lives, and we begin to think too highly of ourselves, so we bring glory to our name and to our accomplishments, when we do that, we are headed down the road to disaster. So the psalmist prays, and he says, Lord, put them in fear, a healthy fear. Let them know that they are just men. Let them know that only God has the right to determine the standards that we are to live by. God answers to no man. But when we forget about God, by the choices that we make every day, we forget that God is the judge of all the earth, and that He is our judge as well, and that we are accountable to Him. And so the psalmist says, when this happens to us, we will sink down into the pit that we have dug. Our sin will come crashing down upon us like an avalanche, and we will fall into the nets that we have hid for others, and we will be trapped and unable to escape. And so we will stand on the edge of eternal disaster. And the prophet Habakkuk wrote about the people in the nation of Judah. And as he was writing to them, he was writing about a nation that was standing on the edge of disaster. Why? Because they had forgotten about their God. And so they plunged deeper and deeper into their sin, into their wickedness. But when God told Habakkuk how He was going to deal with the sin in the nation of Judah, a people who were His own people, Habakkuk could not understand how God could use a wicked nation like the Chaldeans, like the Babylonians, a nation that was far more wicked than the nation of Judah. How could He use them as an instrument to correct His people? It's a good question, isn't it? It's a question that many still ask today. Habakkuk did not understand Just as there are times in our lives when we do not understand the way that things have gone for us. So we might be able to learn something from Habakkuk here in these verses. Instead of focusing so much on what he did not understand, he focused, for the most part, on what he did understand. But remember, Habakkuk was just a man. He was a person. And so the Lord helped him step by step, piece by piece, to understand that he needed to submit to the power, to the decisions of God. So what did Habakkuk understand? He understood the character of God, didn't he? And so that's where he focused. He focused on the character of God. And so in verse 12 of Habakkuk chapter 1, he says to God, "You are from everlasting, O Lord, my God. You are eternal. Yes, you know all things. You are above time and space. You see things from the end to the beginning. Oh, my Holy One, in you there is perfection. In you there is light and there is no darkness at all. And we are confident that even though we are under the hand, your hand of judgment, it is all for our good. Why? Because we know that you are good. And so we will not die. Our nation will not perish. Our lives are in your hands. And as you have promised in your word, we will become a great nation as vast as the stars of heaven. And so, we rest in the faithfulness of your word. We rest in you." Oh, that's the starting point, isn't it? That's the starting point in a relationship with God. We submit to him. Though we may not understand all things that he does, we know that our God is good, that he loves us, that he cares for us. Yet, Habakkuk says, "You, O Lord, have appointed the Chaldeans," sum in Hebrew. "You have set them in a position to judge the wickedness of your people. Truly, your ways are above our understanding." But we're confident. We rest in the fact that all that you do is right. You are our rock. You are our fortress. We find safety and security and stability in you. In your strength, we find strength. And we believe that you have established and raised up the Chaldeans in order to correct us and to bring us back to yourself. We believe, Lord. Yet, he writes in verse 13, "Your eyes are too pure, tahor, too unstained, too undefiled, too holy, too clean, to approve or to even look at evil and not to hate it. And so, you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Lord, you know the Chaldeans. You know that they are a wicked people, a godless people. Why do you look with favor on those who deal so treacherously with us? Why? Do you tolerate them? Perhaps we've had those same questions as well. Is not the cure for our sin, perhaps this was his thought, is not the cure worse than the disease of our sin? Why are you silent, Lord? Why are you silent when the wicked in that wicked nation engulf us and swallow us up? We are more righteous than they are, aren't we? Still, we wait for you. We put our trust in your goodness towards us. We who are helpless. Why have you made us like fish of the sea? He says in verse 14. Why have you made us as an easy catch for a powerful enemy? Why have you made us like creeping things? Remeth in Hebrew. Like fish that glide through the water without a ruler to guide their way and to rule over them. We're like fish. They're like fishermen. Habakkuk says in verse 15. The Chaldeans, the Babylonians bring all of the nations up from the depth of the sea with fishhooks, and they drag them away in their nets, and they gather them together and drag them along in their fishing nets. Therefore, they rejoice, Hamak in Hebrew, they take pleasure in evil, and they are glad, Gil. In Hebrew, they cry out with joy. Therefore, we're told in verse 16, in their idolatry, they offer a sacrifice, zavak. They slaughter animals. They slaughter men, women, and children, and they give adoration and worship to their nets, to their weapons of war, as if their weapons are gods. And they burn incense to their fishing nets, to their weapons, that they might find success. Because they believe that through these things, through their efforts, through their abilities, their catch is large. Shaman, that it is fat and rich, and their food is plentiful. Now they are perhaps like some of us in some ways, because some of us believe that through our abilities and through our finances and through our weapons of war and through what we would call luck, we have achieved success without God. Lord, Habakkuk asks, will there be no end to this idolatry? Will there be no end to this slaughter? Perhaps we've asked the Lord that same question as well. They empty their nets of their prey, Habakkuk says in verse 17. And they continually fill them up again as they slay the nations without sparing anyone. And the question that Habakkuk seems to have is the same question that the psalmist had in Psalm 74, where he said, why, O Lord, why do you not destroy the wicked? Arise, O Lord, plead your own cause of righteousness. Yes, we are a foolish people. Yes, we are a disobedient people. Yes, we are a sinful people. But we are your people. So we look to you, our rock and our salvation. Today, in this day, there is trouble. There is wickedness. There is confusion. But we look to you, our God. We look to you through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.